we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE FM here in Cocoa, Florida. You are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God. My name's Bob Arthurs. I'm the pastor there for, it's been a year or two since I've been there, about 23 of them. So we're glad that you tuned in today. And I've been talking for several weeks on the culture that Abraham had created in his house. And every house has its culture. In fact, I was just having a conversation. Every church has a culture. Every house has a culture. Every workplace has a culture. I've dealt with some businesses where they had a culture of deception. You know, that whatever they would tell you, whatever they needed to tell you to get you to sign on the bottom line. But then, once you signed, then actually the truth came out and the facts came out, and they didn't line up. And if you said, "Well, wait a minute, that's not what I was told," then literally I had a representative of a company say, "Well, do you have any proof of that? Can you prove that?" And I had actually, because I'd dealt with them before, I had actually written down all of the information, but I misplaced the piece of paper. And at that point in time, it was of no value to me. And the person said, "You know, well, you have no way of proving the what you are saying. And so we're going to go ahead and stick with whatever we have, what we're saying." And, you know, my thing was, that company began their message with you before you spoke with a representative with this phone call. It may be recorded for training purposes and things like that. So they had recordings of it, but they didn't want to avail themselves of it. So we've been talking about creating the right type of culture, a godly type of culture. We've talked about Abraham creating a culture of faith and a culture of service and a culture of vision. And there's one more. It's really what I want to talk about, but in the days to come. So I hope that you will tune in. But last Saturday I was having my devotions, and while I was having my devotions, there was something that jumped off the page, and I shared it with our congregation at our missions convention on Sunday. And so I'd like to take you there if you're like to address that, because I believe it's a timely message for someone going into the weekend. And so I'm going to interrupt the study we've been going through, because I believe that this is a timely message for someone either today or tomorrow or this weekend. And so if you would turn to Romans chapter 11, that's where we're going to be today. I do want to say thank you to Jits Concrete. If you need any concrete work or block work done, 536-5804, 536-5804, area code 321, right here in Brevard County. And they are very, very good at what they do. Earlier this week, I saw a news story where there was some damage to some brand new homes. They're only 5 years old or something, but because of some inferior craftsmanship, there was some damage that they were experiencing, and it's a major issue. This company, Jits Concrete, the Anderson family, they've been doing business here in Brevard County in the field of concrete and block work for decades now, and you will not regret doing business with them. We've had them do several projects around the church. I was showing off their handiwork to our missionary that was there this last week, and he guessed a price tag on how much that job cost, and it was, in actuality, it was drastically less than what he estimated. He's like, "Really?" And And so not only will they do a fine job for you, but they will do it at a good value for you. And so if you call them 536-5804, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and they will come out and give you a quote, and you can move from there forward with that. So we do want to invite you. Tomorrow is the day that we are launching our 30 days of prayer leading up to Easter. As the spirit of Antichrist rises in activity, it is time for the people of God to pray and to seek God's face. And so we want to invite you to set aside a prolonged season of prayer for over the next 30 days, where daily we seek the face of the Lord and ask Him to touch and transform our lives, our homes, our cultures, our churches, and our communities. Our communities are desperately in need for a powerful revelation of the reality of God. So join us for that, if you would. I also want to invite you out to our services on Sunday morning. In case you are wondering what happens at Merit Assembly of God, we have three Sunday school classes, two kids classes, one adult class, and we have children's ministry. We have a drama ministry on Sunday night. Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching a word that God laid upon my heart while we were gone. Somebody at our vintage service yesterday was asking for a little bit of insight, and they were trying to bribe me with Mexican food. And I said, no, I'm not giving any hints. I'm just telling you, you need to be there Sunday morning. And so if you want a challenging word from God this week, I want to invite you to Merit Assembly of God. It's a passage that I have preached from before as far as events later in the passage, but never from just this one particular verse that God has laid upon my heart. And so if you're looking for God to stir you in your spirit and challenge you, I want to invite you out. This Sunday, we're going to be believing God for miracles to take place over the next 30 days, eternal miracles, miracles where lives are transformed. So come out and be a part of it. Sunday night, we will be having our grow group and our fellowship hall. We're going to have a time of fellowship afterwards. And so we want to encourage you to be a part of that. So let's get into Romans chapter 11, shall we? And we'll see how far we get. And if it needs to go into tomorrow, then we will pick it up again tomorrow. In Romans chapter 11, verse number 1, it says this: I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is works, it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. So we're going to stop the reading there. And there's a few little thoughts before we get into the main point of today's broadcast. Verse number 1 says, has God cast away his people? And I want you to know that God is not in the business of casting away people. Anytime there is a separation between the people and God, it is always the people who have made that determination. Remember, it was John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In other words, it was his love, it was his desire for relationship with people that prompted him to give his Son, to draw near, to make a path of reconciliation available, to make a path of forgiveness and repentance, both of which, even in 2016, are still essential for every man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet. There is no one that has a special loophole or a special exemption. There's There's no special category of sin that God winks at in 2016. Everybody has access to the Father through repentance and receiving the grace and forgiveness that God offers through his Son, Jesus Christ. God is prompted to build relationships. He is not in the casting away business. People are in the business of rejecting him and rebelling against him and turning their backs on him. In fact, if you would turn over to Romans chapter 1, you would see that, if I can find this real quickly, let me see where it is. Let me take my glasses off so that I can see a little bit better. But it talks about in here that they chose, here it is in verse number 28, and even as they, the people, did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. In other words, it was not in the heart of God to put distance between him and the people. It was that the people made a choice, a deliberate, intentional choice, not to retain the knowledge of God. I believe that when people do that, that they're going to have to give an accounting to God for that. There are many places in the world today that were once religious pillars in our world. They were mission sending, gospel preaching. They were pillars of righteousness. And yet somebody, someplace made an intentional choice that was no longer what was necessary for their culture and their society. It might have been a political leader. It may have been an entire generation of leaders. And now as a result of that, their descendants are living in darkness. I would not want to be that person who made a choice not to retain the knowledge of God for not only my own life, but for my family, for my kids, and for my grandkids. I would not want to live with that sort of responsibility upon my shoulders. I want to keep God at the forefront, to keep preaching the gospel of God. I want to know him. And you know, earlier this week, I was at a pastor's conference on Tuesday. Powerful word. I actually heard something there that I had never heard before. And it was like, you know, that is a marvelous, marvelous explanation of a passage of Scripture. I was greatly blessed by it. And so God is in the drawing near. In fact, he says this, if you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If you will seek me with all, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And so God is there. He's basically hiding in plain sight. And he says, all you've got to do is stop casting me behind your back. Turn around. I'm right here waiting to forgive you. Today, if you're listening to this broadcast, understand that God's not waiting for you to clean up your own life. He's waiting there to assist in the process. And all he's wanting for you is to stop running from him, stop casting him away, and begin to embrace him. And Jesus said, if you will open the door, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, if he will open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him. In other words, all you got to do is open the door for Jesus to come in, and he is going to make your life so much better. So one point in time I was helping my parents with a paper out that they had. I got to travel some of those roads again while I was visiting them in Oklahoma. It was a paper out that covered 52 miles. We covered it morning and evening. Back in those days, we had a morning edition and an afternoon edition, and delivered about 1,000 papers on Sunday morning. We'd get in two cars and we would travel. And so one of the vehicles that they had me deliver papers in was a 1967 GMC pickup. It was a manual transmission, three on the column. And so I would be driving. Now, they would only send one person out per vehicle, and so you were responsible for driving, you were responsible for folding, for banding, and for throwing them out the windows, and doing all of that in a stick shift. And some of those were, now back in those days, it was primarily out in the country. Wasn't so bad at 3 a.m. It was a little more challenging in the middle of the afternoon, but I was not really great at driving a manual transmission then, and I burned up the clutch plate. And so my dad, he said, well, I tell you what, you're going to have to change the clutch plate. And I said, I've never done that before. And he said, well, you're getting ready to learn. And so got to work on the transmission, changed the clutch plate. And when I got out from underneath it, I was covered in grease. I mean, I had grease. This was in the fall. I remember it was in the month of October. October in Oklahoma is not the same as October in Florida. It was already starting to get cold. The leaves had changed. It was getting very, very cold. And, so finished, changing the clutch plate, came out, had grease all over me. And the first thing that you want to do when you get done with a project like that is you want to go in and you want to take a shower. I got to the front porch, and my mother said, you are not coming into my house looking like that. And she said, you've got to clean all that grease off of you before you come in to the house. And that meant that the only solution that was available was the garden hose. Now, the thing about the garden hose as opposed to the shower was the garden hose did not have hot water to it. And I told you it was in October. And the water was very, very cold. And so I had to clean myself up before I went into my mother's house. Now, I want you to know that in God's kingdom, you don't have to clean yourself up first before you get a relationship with Him. But you do have to allow Him to clean you. Now what happens is whenever I've worked on something and I've got dirt all over me, what I will do is there's parts on my arms that I can't see. And so I will go to my wife or one of my kids and I say, is there anything on my arms? And the reason I ask about that is because there's been a lot of times I thought I was clean, and then all of a sudden I would see that I still had this horrible stain on my arm, on my elbow, and things like that. And it was like, okay, you got to start the process all over again. So now I go to people who can see things that I can't see and say, do I have all of the grease off of me? And basically when we come to God, we've got to say, God, you have the ability to see in my life things that I cannot see. You know of things in my heart, issues in my heart that I may not even be aware of. Would you cleanse me from all of my sins? David said, search me, O God, try me. See if there be any unclean thing in me. I challenge you. When was the last time you asked God to do a sin examination on your life? When is the last time you said, God, I don't want it just to be my perception. I want it to be your perception, because you see things clearly. You see them without bias. You see them as they really are. See if there is something in my life that needs to be forgiven. And then the great thing is, He will cleanse us by the blood of the Lamb. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, He doesn't make us cleanse ourselves. He will do the work for us. Now, if we think that we're going to get into His house, though, without having Him cleanse us of our sin, we are sadly deceiving ourselves. Without holiness, no one will see God. And so I want you to understand that even though we're not in charge of cleansing ourselves, He is in the cleansing business. And so if there's anything in your life, do not embrace it if God's word has said that God is opposed to that. That's a very dangerous place to be. If God, and in fact, one time I had a realization, I'd had a conversation with a person, and their spouse had told them that they were okay with them going out and doing something. And I pondered that thought. And because a lot of times people will say, well, I got no problems with this. I heard a Hollywood movie star say at one point in time that they thought it was unrealistic for marriages to be monogamous, being in an exclusive relationship. And it wasn't too long after that until it was found out that that marriage was not going to survive. And here was the thought. Even though that spouse had given their permission to their spouse to not be faithful to their marriage vows, my question is this: has God given you that permission? And the answer to that is no. Society may have given a definition to what is acceptable, but is that God's definition? And unless God has spoken it, then I can't embrace it. I've got to say, no, I've got to stick with what God's word has to say. And so rather than clinging to sin, let's ask him to forgive us of that, because he doesn't want to cast his people away. He wants to draw them near. God, it says in verse number 2, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. It says, or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? And so I'm going to pause for this little segment here, because, you know, it's kind of sad. Elijah was a prophet to the nation of Israel, and here he is pleading against Israel. He had just ministered in a powerful way before Ahab. Jezebel had threatened his life, and he had gone running off to the mountain of God. God had miraculously strengthened him for the journey, and when he gets there, he's just totally discouraged and totally defeated, and he's laying out this charge against Israel. Lord, they've killed your prophets, they've torn down your altars, and I alone am left. Now, I want you to know that Elijah knew that statement not to be true, because he had encountered a young man by the name of Obadiah who had told Elijah when he encountered him on when Ahab was looking for him, he had instructed Elijah, I have been taking care of a great number of prophets. I've been taking care of them myself. I have been keeping them alive. There are prophets beside you, Elijah. That was something that he had been told personally with his own ears. He had heard it with his own ears. And you know, sometimes the devil will try and get people so discouraged that they will forget things that they've heard, things that they've read, things that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And they will think that their job at this point in time is to oppose the covenant people of God. Folks, I want you to know, we're not here to oppose the people of God. We're not here to make slanderous accusations against the people of God. The accuser of the brethren is not God, it's Satan. God is the forgiver of the brethren. God is the one who offers forgiveness and wipes away our sins so that they are never remembered anymore. And I tell people, you know, whenever you are making an accusation against a brother or sister in Christ, whenever you're just attacking them, whenever you're complaining against them, that, you know, I'm not saying, you know, where you're in a position of authority and you've got to deal with sin issues. I'm talking about just wherever you are attacking them with your mouth or attacking them with your actions or undermining them with other people. Whenever you do that, you are acting more like the devil than you are acting like Jesus. And I don't ever want to be called if I can create my own word here, playing on Christian, I don't ever want to be called a Devillian. I don't want to be called a little devil. I don't want to be called a person whose behavior looks like Satan's. I want to be known as a Christian, one whose behavior reminds people of God. And so here Elijah, he says, God, they've done all of these horrible things. They've done all these horrible things. I'm the last one. I'm the last one, and now they're trying to kill me. Elijah actually was begging to die. He's like, go ahead, please kill me. You know what? God is not looking to give the devil or those who are opposed to the plan of God. He's not looking to give those people what they want. He's looking to empower by the Spirit of the living God, the men and the women, the remnant of the people of holiness that are there. He's looking to empower them to bring revival to the community and the nation. Let's not be overcome with depression and discouragement. Let's instead get alone with God, especially. Please join us as we begin this this journey, these 30 days of prayer leading up to Easter tomorrow. Our sanctuary is going to be open on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings at 6 o'clock starting next week. We're going to enhance that the following week. But you don't have to come at 6 a.m., you know, if you're working the graveyard shift at your work, find a time that works for you. But let's commit to an appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over the next 30 days. Let's not live over the next 30 days with discouragement and depression. God, they've passed this law, they've passed that law, they've considered this and they've considered this. Everything they do is inclined against you, God. That's not the way to pray. The way to pray is, God, what a great opportunity. Let me close with a story. I heard this a long time ago, that there were two shoe companies, and they sent salespeople to this island. And when the salespeople got there, they found that nobody on the island wore any shoes. And the first salesman, he sent a letter back to his company, and he says, please get me off of this island as soon as you can. Nobody here wears shoes, therefore there is no market for shoes, and we're not going to be making any money. I'm not going to be making any money. The company's not going to be making any money. You need to get me off of here as soon as possible. The second person embraced the exact same reality. He was there. He found the same people. He found the same conditions. None of them wore any shoes. He sent a wire back to his company, and he said, send me everything that you've got. This is a wide open market. There's no competition. There is a great need here in the midst of this people. Their feet will be, once they find out about the blessings of wearing shoes, it is going to be a boom market here. It is just going to be great. And today, folks, I want you to know, when we're living in a society of lawlessness, it's not the time to give way to depression and discouragement. It's to say, God, send us everything you've got. This is a wide open market for our community to reach out and embrace the truth of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.